I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Casey Lynch. Casey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. Normally, we talk about artists in Atlanta, but I'm very curious about you as a Georgia artist first, because you're from Columbus. You're not from Atlanta. So talk about growing up in Columbus, because you're right there in that southwest portion of the state, right there on the Alabama-Georgia border. So what was life like for you in Columbus?
That's a good question. And Columbus is like, you know, the stereotypical suburb kind of. And, you know, it's not really a suburb of Atlanta because it's so far away, but it's in a way a military town because it's, you know, pretty much fed by Fort Benning. And truth be told, I grew up in Harris County, although I went to school in Columbus. So I was actually like lived in a suburb of a suburb. So there's kind of interesting things going on there. I grew up in kind of country. You know, my parents had like two ponds and woods on their house and stuff like that. But Columbus is probably, I would say, kind of like everywhere else, especially when I was growing up, as far as generic, like medium town USA. It's a lot different now than when I was growing up. But I don't know, as an artist, it's, you know, I was always nurtured, even from a young age. My mom likes to tell some story about how there's some really great drawing of Mr. T that I did when I was 5 years old at the doctor's office or something. But in elementary school, I had, you know, great art teachers like Robbie Keith was a influence of mine from a very young age. And in high school, I did, you know, I was able to do photography, black and white photography, film photography for my senior project. And so it's an all right place. I mean, there's, you know, they have actually a really great museum there, the Columbus Museum. They have like cool stuff. Even from when I was a kid, they had really cool stuff. And now that I've been back as an adult, kind of impressed with the kind of work that they have. You wouldn't kind of expect in a smaller city like Columbus, but it's a cool place. And now, I mean, looking back now, when I go down and see what Columbus State's doing with their art program, and kind of, you know, building up the downtown with some other businesses, it's actually becoming a really cool place for, I think, young artists maybe. But growing up there, it was kind of redneck, I guess. I don't know. I had a good time.
So talking about being nurtured there as an artist, when did you first get the inspiration, if you will, to be an artist or know that that's what you would aspire to be?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if there's ever like one specific thing, but, you know, I definitely remember like in elementary school, there's like I don't know if it was a competition, but there's like the steeplechase that happens at Callaway Gardens. I guess it's at Callaway Gardens. I've never been, but it's like horse races. And we were supposed to like do drawings for that or something. And I think one of my drawings like made it to get shown at the mall or something like that. So I probably have always had a little influence there. And my mom was like real active with the school and stuff in elementary school. And so she was friends with the art teacher and so, you know, I guess the art teacher maybe saw some potential in me then. So there's a little bit of nourishment there. My brother's a really good drawing. And since he's my older brother, of course, you always kind of look up to your older siblings. So I would try to emulate him a little bit, even though he can actually draw better than I can. And then in high school, I took art maybe 2 or 3 years. I can't even remember now. But I had a pretty good art class there. I went to Columbus High School. It was a liberal arts school. So we even had, like, I guess it was, like, kind of a homeroom class where they would, you know, play, like, classical music for us and, like, teach us about that kind of thing. And then in literature, we'd read, like, the classics and stuff that maybe some of the more vocational high schools didn't quite get into. So I think in that way I was nourished or nurtured by the arts growing up.
So Is there anything from that part of your life, that time in Columbus, that still shows up in your drawings now that you can tell?
I don't think so. I don't think anything specifically. And it's really funny that you asked that question, because I feel like my interaction with the Walthall Fellowship over the past couple of months has made me want to add that stuff in. I think that kind of growing up in the South and having like, that omnipresent Southern religion around me has influenced the work a lot, because I think that a lot of the work deals with spirituality, or at least deals with other worldliness in a lot of ways, deals with my trying to understand it in a lot of ways. And so I think that, you know, that's something that's maybe more, I mean, it could be American, it could just be Southern or something like that. But I don't think there's anything real specific about Columbus, Georgia, that is shown in my work. I'm hoping that maybe it's going to start coming out very soon, just based on some of the things I've been thinking about. But in the past, not so much.
So what are you thinking about?
Just thinking about changing kind of my forms and my signifiers that I'm using in the work. So much of my work in the past has been real kind of minimalist. And so essentially, you know, rectilinear shapes, using a lot of light, things like that, that really kind of making things that were, I guess, like real basic formally, and hopefully like leaving kind of a blank slate for people to put ideas into and kind of grow from, almost like the work was a seed. And of course, seeds are usually kind of just a basic little like shape, right? Whereas the full plant is usually the thing that we see as a more beautiful or more elaborate entity. And I think now I kind of want my work to move more in a space where, I guess maybe if using that same analogy, it's more like the tree. I'm wanting to use things like, you know, molding and trims like we would see in antebellum type houses. Thinking about things like pickup trucks and tires, like big tires. Thinking about, you know, some of those motifs that I associate with the South,
right?
And maybe some of the people and places that I grew up in and around, and seeing if I can incorporate those things into my old like building methods, but instead of them being kind of minimalist, having some sort of like almost a Baroque quality to them by adding that embellishment that seems a little Southern to me.
Is there a character or person in your life that you think might be a subject for that type of work? Someone in your past, a teacher, a friend? Is there someone who you think about and you say, that person is what I'm trying to capture?
I don't think it's a person. I definitely don't think it's a person. I think it's more of like a feeling or an embodiment of whatever. And that's something that I'm trying to discover as I push my work into the new formal places that I think it's going to go. I do mostly installation work, and so it's mostly about creating environments that give a certain sense or a certain feeling. They kind of create a space where you can go and be one way. And so I still want to make that kind of an environment, but just have the visuals be a little bit different. And so, you know, I think, you know, more than a person, maybe the form that is in the back of my mind is some sort of like church or something, almost like a, I don't want to say altar, but something along those lines that kind of has a mystical feel to it. Because I kind of always feel like my work has that, or I want most of my work to have that, even though it goes in a lot of directions. And so I kind of want to push in that direction without like making an altar or making like a fake church or something like that.
So talk about your approach to your work. Well, I guess your drawings, and then how you grow, or I guess involve your installation work in terms of your process. How is your process different or I guess more as it relates to your installations?
Yeah, to me, they're like kind of like on top of each other, mirrors of each other. So sometime around 2005, I figured out a way of making drawings that stuck with me since then. And at the time, what I was doing, I was just using a projector, a LCD projector, and I was tracing the pixels. So I just put a projector up and then either, you know, trace the pixel with dots or lines or whatever. And I was thinking about this idea of like this platonic light source and it being traced by the human hand. So kind of like this perfect, you know, out of 600 by 800 squares that of light that then gets traced by the human hand. And that evolved a little bit over time. And now what I'm doing for most of the installation sculpture work up to this point, and even some of the plans I have for the future, is I create a drawing in Google SketchUp, which, again, it kind of has that platonic realm because it's all, you know, vector work and, like, you know, 3D models on a computer. So once again, you know, a light-based image, the screen, is kind of the source for the imagery. And then once I get it to a point where I like it, I usually print it out and then trace that image, or I'll project the image, that 2D image that I can actually see of the 3D model. I'll project that image and trace that. And so I've got this it's like a transition from a real kind of platonic, idealistic space of the computer in this mathematical world to a very kind of like almost perfect place of the human hand. And then when it goes, if it goes beyond a drawing into a sculpture, usually it almost flips on itself and becomes like this relatively like, you know, clean edge, hard line, minimalist object that then projects light again. There usually has light involved, you know, as a feature of the sculpture.
As someone who seems to take a pretty technological approach to his art, and even going into your sculpture, have you played around with 3D printing yet?
I haven't. And, you know, I can't really say why, other than the fact that I haven't taken the time to really do, to learn Rhino or, you know, ZBrush or stuff like that, that would really take it to that next step. There's a while there where I was starting to really start to get into it because I was thinking I was going to have to teach it at SCAD. And then when another professor kind of took over that, it just kind of fell to the side. I like the idea. Truthfully, I kind of feel like Nathan Sherritt has it on lock for the Atlanta community as far as 3D printing goes. But it's just not somewhere that I've gone just yet. And I'm not sure how it would turn out if I did.
Well, you mentioned there that you are a professor at SCAD, as well as Gwinnett Technical College.
Georgia Gwinnett,
I'm sorry. Yeah, so okay. SCAD and Georgia Gwinnett College. Mm-hmm. And at the latter, you teach art appreciation. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about how you as an artist teach art appreciation to your students. What is that like for you in terms of what you're trying to get them to, in essence, appreciate?
That's exactly how I teach the class. You know, I have a Bachelor of Science in Psychology, which means that was my first degree, which means I went through a regular liberal arts college, and I took art appreciation at college. And I went for 15 weeks in a dark room with an old dude clicking slides and like, buh, buh, you know, and I don't want to give that to people because I love art, and that didn't make me appreciate art, you know? So what I do is I try to mix it up. I do try to give that history and, you know, relate art to cultures and history and how art related to the changes in history. But, you know, Georgia Gwinnett really gives a lot of freedom and the ability to kind of add in, you know, some application. Like, I do some drawing. I, like, show kids, like, you think you can draw? Well, no? All right, let me show you how you can draw. Look, you can write the alphabet. Look, I'm going to show you how Chuck Close draws, you know, or how like photorealism is done. Like, we're just going to take a bunch of squares and do this drawing and kind of like empower them. I like to think of it as taking away the magic of art and kind of give them appreciation for it that way. But on the other hand, I show them, you know, through personal experience, which I think a lot of teachers shy away from showing their personal work or like their own experiences with their students. But I say, like, look, here's a budget that I did for an art piece. You think artists do that? You know, like, here is, like, you know, 10 drawings I did just to get denied for a project. You know, I try to show them that, like, being an artist is also being a small business owner, kind of like being an entrepreneur, that there is work that goes into it, that it's not, you know, just like hanging out all day drinking beers and drawing or whatever, that it's like a job. And so I think that's a different type of appreciation. It's like, these people are serious. They're not just having a great time. It's not just like something better than, you know, being a lawyer or something else, that it's hard work. And so I try to give them appreciation in a lot of ways, I think.
So in some ways, it's artist appreciation as well, because
yeah,
they now have a better appreciation for what you do as an artist, but also the final product.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to, and you know, I show them a lot of examples too, from Exit Through the Gift Shop, the videos, like the movie films like Objectify, and like, you know, try to get them to see that art's everywhere. It takes different forms, and it has different aspects than just the Mona Lisa or something like that. Because I think, especially with people in my generation and younger, it's so easy to dismiss everything as just like old because we're taught to only like the new, that I try to let them see, you know, the influence of my Da Vinci's Mona Lisa on Lady Gaga or something like that.
So when you're teaching and when you're even considering your own art and looking back at history where you have these really famous pieces of art, and even looking now, do you feel like you have, or that artists these days have, a signature piece?
Some artists have a signature piece, you know. I mean, obviously Damien Hirst, like, for the love of God, the diamond skull. I would say that's his signature piece. I mean, I think he's designed a lot of other things that have sold and he's pretty well known for. And maybe, you know, the sliced up cow or shark or whatever may have been his old signature piece. But I think, you know, 500 years from now in the history books, it'll be the diamond skull. Maybe not. I could be wrong. And I think, you know, various people, you know, Jeff Koons kind of has the balloon dogs or like some other things like that. Those guys are harder to pinpoint. It seems so much about being prolific nowadays in production and kind of designing things more than just making art, in the kind of romantic sense, that it maybe is harder to pinpoint that signature piece, maybe as much as the signature style. But that's kind of art on a larger scale. As for myself, you know, I don't know. I mean, one of the things I tell my students is that, like, you know, when you're in kindergarten, you learn to write the alphabet, like, on three lines, right? And you're literally drawing them. You're not writing language. You're drawing. Once you learn to draw the alphabet, you start to be able to write words, et cetera, et cetera. The faster you write the words, the more that you create a hand style, handwriting style, right? Your handwriting style becomes your signature, right? So I see the art process of creating like an art style or art signature the same way. And have I found mine? I mean, I hope not, because I'm not rich. You know, hopefully I'll find one and then become rich. No, I'm just kidding. I think that I've had maybe signature pieces up to this point, but probably not my signature style that will be like, if I was remembered, what I'm remembered for.
When are you at your best as an artist?
When am I at my best? That's a good question. Oddly enough, it's like when I've spent a decent amount of time with people and in the world, and then I remove myself. I'm the kind of person who, in the studio at least, I just I can get absolutely nothing done if other people are there. If it's a shared studio space, it's almost like I have to work when everyone else is asleep or whatever. Like when I was in grad school, the first year I was sharing a studio with someone, did a lot of experimental work and tried this and that, a lot of failures, maybe a few successes, but I was always uncomfortable. And then I just remember in my second year having my own studio and just feeling like I accelerated because, you know, I would even come in at like 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning when my wife went to work. No one else was there because, you know, they partied the night before or whatever. I could work like 8 hours, 6 hours. No one was in the building, you know, much less in my studio. And so I just feel like in a lot of ways, like by myself, just like open-minded and clear-minded is when I work the best. And in that same vein, when I work, I usually either don't listen to any music or anything like that, or I listen to music without words because it's almost like I have to just be like completely enveloped in myself or something, or just like really just absent from everything else, I think. I think that's when I make the best work.
So Casey, let all of our listeners know how they can learn more about you and all of your work.
My website is kclyncheart.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm on Instagram and I'm on Instagram, I think, as square146. I think I'm on Twitter as mcompletely. That's imcompletely. I think the best thing to do would just go to my website and look at links, and everything's right there. So that's CaseyLynchArt.com. And my phone number is 555-5555.
Casey, thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Floyd.